Hey, this is Mango. You're listening to TSR.
TCR.
TCR?
TCR. The Center Ring.
That's what I said. I did say TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 59 coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, May 6, 2017, the time, 5:55 and 55 seconds.
That's
oddly enough, like I legit just look. I don't know.
Did you say TCR?
TTR.
TSR.
TZR?
TCR.
We'll get to that in a moment. That voice you just heard, though, is none other than the angelic Anuj. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm ready to, you know, it's another Saturday show. Schedule's a little wonky getting back from DreamHack.
The first Saturday show for me.
Yeah. We used to always do these on like Saturday and Sunday, believe it or not. But then everything in esports happens on weekends, and we thought that doesn't make sense. And then we have, no Brett today. He's actually out on assignment. He took the show jet to Paris. So I was like, listen, I want a Vice report, first-hand reaction on what's going on with the French Shuffle, post-French Shuffle era. How is France taking Envious's decline? So he's in Paris this week doing that.
G2 seems like they're on the decline too.
Or are they? They're doing okay. We have a wonderful show for you today. Dare I say it, and it's not just because Brett's not here, but it could be the best episode yet. Not only are we 10 away from the funny number, but we also are going to talk about DreamHack. We just went to, or I guess just went to, it was like a week ago and at this point, but we did go to DreamHack and we want to talk to you about that. Talk a little bit about that. We also want to go into an ethics discussion, or as I like to call the ethics of playing like a bitch, right? Everyone knows that guy. They have no shame in spamming the move, right? They're your friend who picked Michael Vick in Madden. There's that guy. And we want to discuss that because actually that affected the pro scene, the Smash Melee pro scene in DreamHack. We'll end the show with E! News like always, and then we're going to get to a little bit of spring cleaning, if you will, because last week we only talked about DreamHack Austin, so we really didn't get to talk about a little bit things. You got E-League, H1Z1 was on TV, things we wanted to get to, but they're just, you know, they're piling up, so we need to clean those out of the closet. But before we do that, let's talk about DreamHack. DreamHack Austin was last week. We went, this was the second year we went. It was the second year they've done DreamHack in Austin. So I guess you could say that we're veterans. You know, we're the old timers.
Felt regulars. Like a veteran over there. Felt like a new.
You really did.
Doing. Yeah.
You really did. So last year we went and we went as spectators. We didn't bring our PCs. This year we did the BYOC area and it was actually really smooth. I thought it was going to be rough. Like, I was really worried about, like, taking my PC, and I thought they were going to make it... So, like, when you got there, they had a loading dock, and then you just could basically load up your stuff and go in. I was worried security was going to be really, like, TSA airport-level security.
If you didn't bring, like, a dolly or something to carry your stuff in...
That
had
to
be pretty miserable.
We were lucky because we had a couple dollies there. So it was good. But yes, yeah, so you did see some of those
people
bring those full-on towers. Like
one guy had like a tower that required like four of his buddies to help him because it was like a liquid-cooled PC and had to be like flat and it was massive. And
dude, no. I'm sorry.
No.
I get it. That's kind of the cool thing. Like we did our walk around to see everyone's PCs and you see like all the cool custom ones. Not this guy, though. I'm not about, like, I'm there for a LAN and I'm there to have fun. And sure, my PC looks kind of neat. It's got a lot of lights. But listen, if I had one of those PCs that were just so, Like, there was one PC there that was like a legit fish tank. Like, he had fish inside of his PC case.
Rest in peace. Three of them didn't make it through the weekend, he said.
Mm. But that's one that stays at home.
Yeah.
And then I'll build, if you have that much money to make a fish tank PC, you probably have enough money to make a backup LAN PC. And that's what I would do.
Coolest one was the guy that had the Raspberry Pi screen on front. And he could play like Sonic.
He was watching Star Wars at one point. Yeah, I did see. Awesome. I did see cool. Star Wars.
Anyways,
what do you want to do first? I guess we'll kind of jump back and forth. We'll talk about the games. I want to end with Smash though, just so we can kind of segue that into playing like a bitch. You did have CS:GO there. That was the big one of the big games. I think it was the last finals there.
On the big stage
and everything there. They make it one of the premier ones there. To not get too in details here, okay? You did have Gambit taking first place against Immortals in the grand finals. Bit interesting. I don't think during the pregame or for the pre-show, we had G2 running away with it, right? Like, we saw Group had G2. B,
yeah.
And we were like, okay, well, G2 is clearly going to take this.
Yeah.
Like, I think Gambit might have been the second place, but they weren't a close second. We just said out of Group A, Gambit's probably going
to
make it.
And Gambit had been playing okay going into the event, so there wasn't much to lead you to believe that they were going to steamroll everybody like they did. And Immortals is just consistent. I mean, they are just a hard team to beat, so it doesn't surprise me. You know, wouldn't it surprise me if they went out in groups? It wouldn't surprise me if they won the tournament. They're one of those teams that's a little inconsistent, but when they're on, they're on.
G2 ended up being eliminated by Gambit in the semifinals 2-1. That's actually the only time Gambit lost in the tournament because they beat Immortals 2-0. As far as NA's performance in here, it's weird because you had Cloud9 and Liquid in Group B. Both being eliminated, they didn't advance to the playoffs.
No.
But for whatever reason, Cloud9 went 1-2. But when you were there watching, it did not feel like they went 1-2. Like, their records their results don't represent how well they really did play.
Yeah.
They defeated G2. That was their first, you know, that was an insane game. They beat them in the best of one area. And then in the elimination game, they lost 2-1 after coming back on the second map. So they played well.
They looked good. But, I mean, you know, we knew that group was going to be hard going into it. You're going to have a good team fall out there either way. Well, Liquid didn't perform as good as I thought they were hoping that they would, especially after a decent showing the week before. They really, you know, didn't show up at all, it felt like, for the tournament.
Some drama, though, that was happening with the CS:GO headsets, I guess, if you want to call it that. So they were using the Astro, I think, A50 headsets is what the players were using, and then they had their headphones inside of them, right, like a normal tournament. But it wasn't like a closed sound booth. It was an open air booth or whatever, and that they were using the Astro A50s as like their normal soundproof headphone. Yeah. Right. Normally they have like those big, almost looks like airplane runway headphones.
Like an actual soundproof headphone on.
These are not, they're advertised as soundproof, but they're not like, you know.
They're like your normal good gaming headset.
Right.
You
they're
know,
not
you can
like
hear a little
aerospace
bit,
engineered soundproof like they do at these other tournaments. And I was even sitting there watching during the Cloud9 G2 game thinking, man, I don't own Astros, but I can't imagine that they are that good to quiet the crowd and everything else going on because those speakers are bumping. The bass on those speakers are loud.
Well, you have the fan noise. Each booth basically has its own little
the
radio
station. The commentators are getting piped in.
The commentators, and then on top of that stage that... you know, drove us crazy for majority of the time while we were there, too. And we'll get into that later. But, there was just a lot of noise in there. And
there were rumors. And now the guy in front of me was like, oh, no, man. Have you ever had Astro products? They're so good. They don't hear anything. I'm like,
bruh.
Like,
bruh.
Okay, sure.
The event sponsored by them.
Yeah, right.
Just relax. Like, they didn't choose that
that's
because
why they're
yeah.
Let me tell you what. Have you ever seen them wear a pair of Astros before? Oh, no, you didn't.
No.
So there was rumors, though, and the players were saying, like, no, we can, at times, they can hear the commentators.
Yeah.
Like, I forget what match it was, but one of the commentators was saying, like, oh, man, look up, look up, look up. And then all of a sudden, Kenny S. looked up. I think it was when they were playing Gambit in the semis. And it was either really weird timing or Kenny S. heard him saying, oh, he's above him, look up.
Yeah.
And Kenny S. sure enough looked up and shot him.
You know, from an event standpoint, there were so many technical delays in the CS tournament. It was kind of insane. I went there on three separate occasions to watch a match, and we were sitting there on a technical timeout, and half the time we would just turn around and just go back to the BYOC because it was like, okay, we've been waiting like 20 minutes now for a headphone issue or a networking issue. So it wasn't the best run DreamHack event. I thought last year was probably a little bit smoother from at least a technical delay standpoint.
And as far as schedule goes, and I know there are people, you know, I'm going to say this, and I know people are going to be like, well, it's not anyone's fault really, right? It's the delays, like whether it be technical or overtime, things pushing the start time back. And I know a lot of people say, well, they shouldn't even show a start time in esports because everyone knows it's a fluid start time. Like you see 5 o'clock, don't plan your day for a 5 o'clock start. Like it could be at 5 or it could be at 7.
Easily.
And so me, Brett, and our buddy Donut, we were the last three to leave the event. And our plans were, because the CS was supposed to start at 5. So the BYOC packed up at 6, which, by the way, you cannot leave your stuff there. So that's just, on DreamHack's part, I think that's really bad planning, that you have your premier grand final starting at 5. I have to pack up my stuff and leave at 6.
It's like, go pull up the car out of the garage, pack it up, go back to the garage.
We're not going to do that.
We're leaving at that point.
So our plan was, let's go watch an hour of the grand finals and whatever. Because believe it or not, I've been to a handful of these events. Not once have I seen a CS final. Not once. I've never seen a CS team lift a trophy because these events always go so late compared to what they were supposed to start at. And I'm not saying that I get overtime, right? I get that. I think in the grand finals, game one went into a triple overtime. I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing like maybe not fit the entire playoffs on the last day to do the event at.
The finals need to be the last day and start at like 11 o'clock.
They already take like 3 hours.
Well, because if it's a best of three and you go until 11, you have breaks in between, you're still done at like 3 o'clock, three, maybe four even. If it's best of five.
I think it ended at like what, 9 o'clock?
9:30 or something.
9:30? Could you imagine if we stayed?
Just to give you an idea, we're 3 hours away from the venue. So if we're staying till 9:30, we're leaving, getting home, realistically unpacking our stuff, and you're not, you know, you're back at home by like 1 o'clock by the time it's all said and done.
It was the same thing with when we went to MLG Columbus, right? We were planning on watching the finals. We had a flight for, I think, like 6 o'clock that evening.
Yeah.
The finals were supposed to like start at 11. I don't think they started till like 1 or 2 because they did the All-Star game prior, and the All-Star game went into like triple or quadruple overtime.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, guys, this is it's an All-Star game. Like, why are you delaying the finals for this ridiculous All-Star game? Like, no, this is when like some powers at be need to step in.
Unplug that network cable right
now
and call it a day.
And get this over with. Yeah. And that wasn't the case at DreamHack. DreamHack, it was legit just technical issues and matches going longer than I guess they planned. But everyone knows that the Counter-Strike match could... I mean, Valve even says, hey, before you start this game, it could take up to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And so everyone knows if you want to predict something, a best of three might go 3 or 4 hours.
Well, for an event like DreamHack, most people are just not from the area because they're coming for the LAN. So there's more people from Houston and, you know, Dallas coming to Austin than probably attendees from Austin itself. Most of the people I met around us, you know, none of them were from Austin.
No. No, and it's one of those... Austin is in, like, central Texas, so people will drive.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, we're 3 hours away in Dallas, so it's...
So to do a game that late, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And like I said, I understand there's delays and it's going to be a constant complaint until whatever gets figured out. But I think it should be, the finals are the only thing on a Sunday.
Yeah. And it takes them like 20 minutes to warm up and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
By the time it actually starts, it's
too late. There's a way to do this better. As far as StarCraft 2 goes, Neeb wins StarCraft 2, also gets that sweet, sweet invite to the global finals for StarCraft. Neeb was also, though, he took second place last year. So he came back to Austin, got first place, the American. Nurcio is the Polish gentleman. He was playing Zerg. He got second. Major got third, or I guess Major and True got third. True being actually the only Korean there. So he represented Korea, got third there. In Hearthstone, Shoop ended up kind of dominating in the Hearthstone world. I didn't watch too much Hearthstone when we were down there. I like Hearthstone. It's not, if I'm going to DreamHack, I'm probably not going to sit down and watch a Hearthstone match.
There's too many other things going on for
me to focus on a card game. Not to mention where the Hearthstone stage was set up. It was basically across the hallway from their... It was the main stage. I know Counter-Strike was the big stage, but this was like the main stage where they did the BYOC tournaments on and the music.
Yeah.
And so if you were watching Hearthstone, it was unbearably loud. So I didn't bother watching it, but Shoop, unsponsored, ended up winning the tournament. He ended up for the semis through the finals using one deck. His mage deck won him 6 games there. He also 3-0'd Trump in the semis. So Trump being a... actually, both crowd favorites, Trump and Reynad, both being from Tempo Storm, tied for third. So that's a little bit anticlimactic when you have the two favorites getting knocked out in the same round going into the semis.
Did Trump, like, change his name, like, after Donald, or...
No.
Or is he always, no, he's always been Trump.
He's always been Trump. TSM Trump, and now Tempo Storm. Street Fighter V, now this is one that we did stay for. That was the one thing. If I wasn't going to stay for Counter-Strike, I was like, let me watch Street Fighters. That's really what I wanted to watch. So Punk ended up beating... I can't even read my handwriting. Oh, Hitani. He ended up beating him in the grand finals there. Dude, I have audio here of that grand finals. It was insane to watch. So Punk was up... It was 2-2, right? Or 2-1. So Punk was going to win. Whoever won this was going to win it all. Punk was up one round, one game, however you want to word it. They were both down to one hit. And they kept missing. You'll have to watch the video. Google DreamHack Street Fighters Finals to see the video. I have audio here. It's about 40-ish seconds. So just listen to this, though, and the insanity that the commentators were going through.
Trying to follow up. He's close. You only need to watch. This might be it, James. Is Punk going to take it? I think it's going to be it. No!
Oh, my God, the critical air missed. I don't know if I've ever seen
it. Oh, and hold on. That's the result.
Oh, my God, and he's going to catch. Oh!
No! What is happening?
What's going on here at this last game?
That's Hitani missing.
Even the game doesn't know what to do.
Oh, my God. And, oh, no. Didn't get the jump in.
Oh,
my
God. Might be it. No.
Not quite.
Oh, he gets away. Can either one find a hit?
Gets the throw. Punk dashes
and that's,
in.
That's where Punk finally finishes it off. Yeah. They were both one hit
Punk
and just kept.
Manages to take
both of them had killing blows.
Props to the casters. Out of breath right there after that one.
They could have done it, but man, it was insane to watch, and everyone was going completely bonkers in the event. One thing here, you had Smash 4 or Smash U, whatever the hell you want to call it. Zero beating MK Leo. Zero kind of, he went into the loser's bracket, but Zero, which we actually have a liner from, he was actually kind of nice to talk to. And I say this because I've always been a hater of Zero on the show.
Have you?
He wears Gunner Optics, and I just instantly judge anyone who wears Gunner Optics. Those are the yellow tinted quote unquote gamer glasses.
Dude, they're good to look at your monitor.
Yeah, okay. You know, like, yeah, that's how you take your game to the next level. Wear these yellow. Like, I will go to Home Depot and buy the same things for like
how you take
$2.
Your game to the next level is you get that sponsorship and throw them on.
Right.
It doesn't
that's
matter what
how
they
you
look
take
like.
It to the next level.
That's how you take your game to the next level.
Oh, yeah.
Level.
I mean, if you want to give me a pair and fly me around, sure, I'll wear a bikini if you want me to. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I couldn't wear them.
But Zero was very cool. He gave us a liner. He also ended up winning. Smash 4 at DreamHack Austin, going to the losers, ended up completely dominating MKLeo in the finals, going 6-0. He first restarted the bracket and won. I mean, just went destroyed him with Diddy Kong there in the finals. Now, before we get to Smash Melee, because that's going to branch off into our ethics discussion of the show, we kind of want to go over our pros and cons of Austin. For me, overall, the trip was really fun. Like, I mean, we're there with 9 of our best buds. We almost got a little too cash. we were having fun.
Had a good time.
And it was great. We played Smash. We played Counter-Strike, anything.
It's like what we wanted it to be from a gaming standpoint, right?
Yes, from a gaming standpoint, it was great. The layout of this year was way better than the last. Last year's, it was split between two floors, and you never really went upstairs to the fighting game floor.
You didn't. They were kind of in their own world, and same thing with the card games. Were kind of in their own world,
this
so they didn't
year,
feel like involved.
This year, it was all integrated, and it was a lot better.
Less vendors this year. So if you went to go get, like, free swag.
Like us.
Yeah,
or
like us.
Or like me, where I purposely waited an entire year to buy a keyboard because I wanted to test out all of them. At DreamHack, and then
none
that,
of them were there.
That completely blew up in my face.
Guys, I did get my chair.
You did
so
get your chair.
I did get
finally.
My chair. That was a big deal. Me and Ronnie both got our chairs. I'm rocking a TSM chair, so that was exciting. But yeah, the layout was good. I mean, because you felt involved. You could see everything that was going on.
Even like for us in the BYOC area, we were kind of in the mid range in the seats. 5 minute walk to Counter-Strike, if that.
If even that. I mean, it was everything was really, really close to us. So that was nice.
Now, that's a double-edged sword, though. Because, so this year, and we previewed it in our last episode, the music. And we were like, we'll enjoy the music. You know, it's good background music. How bad can it be?
We even gave them the time to play a little, like, you know, we put in little touches of each
samples,
one. You got a little sample.
We were like, those will be cool to watch. You know, sure, I'm not a fan of any of it, but sure.
Worst part of this whole event.
So on Friday, and I know I actually had some listeners of the show like tweeting at me saying like, hey, I see people complaining about the music. Is it really that bad? To answer that, the tweets probably, you can't even imagine how on Friday night, the music started around 7 and went almost to 2 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, right up till about 2.
I think it was like at 1:40 or something like that, this music ended. It was so ungodly loud. Like
it was the bass. The bass was
like, I don't even know,
like
here.
So high.
I will try.
Don't do this to them.
I'm just, so like when we're sitting here trying to play games. I'm just there with my buddies. I want to play my games. I want to play Counter-Strike. You have to listen in Counter-Strike, right?
It's all listening.
So while we're playing, you're basically doing this bit right here.
That's exactly what
And this is about as much as you can hear people as you're playing Counter-Strike.
The best part is take that and then add an ungodly amount of bass to it. So you have like the vocals.
And it's not even just it's
body
it's
rumbling.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurt me. Like we had to go and all of us had to go get like headache medicine that night because we were like, we just sat there for like 5 hours with our insides being rattled.
I felt like a drug dealer, the amount of Advil I passed out
Dude,
that first night.
It was like...
I mean, everybody asked me for some Advil that night.
And it's not just because we were old.
No.
Like, albeit that we were probably the older people there.
The 16-year-old kids behind us left. They left the event at like 9:30.
Because they said it was just ruining it.
Look, we can't play like this. Like, we can't hear anything. They were only there to play CS, which a lot of people were. I mean, it was a good mix, but a lot of people were there just to play CS. And if you're trying to play a game like that, you need to be able to
hear.
And you could not hear... anything. I could feel the tumor growing in my body when the bass was going on.
I didn't know my body parts could shake that were shaking.
And we were like close to the stage, but the people that were farthest away were only maybe what, 30 meters farther than us
at
most.
They were still complaining. And imagine the people that were, so the people directly near the stage, not only were they complaining about the music, they were also getting the lights. So the lights from the stage were just shining in their faces the entire time while playing.
The best part is while all this is happening, you're sitting in the effing tundra, and it was so...
I don't mind the cold.
No, my gosh, dude.
I would see...
It was so cold, Tim's sweater got passed around like the town bicycle, you know what I'm saying? Like, we would take his sweater and we were all wrapping ourselves. It was freezing
I didn't think so. I think you guys were just being little babies because I sat there, I was fine. I'd rather have... With a group of smelly people, give me the cold before you even think about turning it down.
I'm not saying make it hot. Just make it like average.
How about this? How about all of you just bring your own hoodie and don't rely on my one hoodie that I bring?
When you can't click on your mouse because you're in like full rigor mortis state at that point, it's a problem. Like we couldn't even click the shoot button.
I thought it felt wonderful. I'm not going to support your beliefs on that. But the music was terrible. And
you know
I think
what?
There
I like
was about,
the music.
Okay, whatever.
All of a sudden.
I think there was maybe like on Discord, there was like two people like saying how good it was. And I think everyone wanted to find them and throw their computers out.
They were trolling. first of all.
I think they were employees. I think they worked there.
There was about, so in front of the stage, they had like, like a dance area or whatever. I don't know.
Because that's
like,
what we're going to go do is like dance.
A dance area or something. I guess that would be the easiest way to put it. You know, there were other BYOC games, the final BYOC tournaments were up there so some people could go stand and watch. But while the music was going on, it was a dancing area. There's about 20 people, 7 crew members, like 13 fans, just sitting there
at
dancing
most,
up and down.
At most. There was maybe, I saw 30, maybe 40 people, not even 40.
Oh, man, 40's giving them a lot of credit.
40's giving a lot,
like,
yeah.
A lot.
Maybe 30 at most were there for somebody. And the best part is like, you have all this, and you got people just literally ready to kill them because they're so loud.
People were yelling. People were yelling
the second,
from the BYOCs.
The second like the music would turn down a little bit between songs, you would hear people go like, turn it off! It's like,
there was rounds of applause each time somebody would stop singing.
And it wasn't because you were good.
No, you were not being cheered for, just so you guys know. So that was rough.
Because I remember at like midnight, it finally ended and people were like, thank God. And then they're like, all right, DreamHack, are you ready for one more band? And everyone was like, oh my God.
No, it was time to go home at that point.
Like, no.
And so I regret us not going back.
We should
actually the first night.
So it was the first night there and we were like, no. Because it is upsetting, like, the kids behind us, right?
Yeah.
Like, we, you know, befriended them at the event, and we were all having fun, and it's a shame seeing that people's weekend and fun is being ruined by just incompetence of the management of DreamHack. Not when you're actively getting live feedback from people at the event asking, just turn it down.
And we're not talking about one or two
people.
And
for whatever
reason,
they said, no, we'll make it better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I work in audio. I work in the radio. I know how a soundboard works. You just take the knob and you do this little thing.
Just a little bit.
And you turn it back up and then you can hear me again.
That's it.
It's not that difficult.
It was bad.
For whatever reason,
so that
it was recreating the wheel for them.
And the good thing is that at least by day two, they acknowledged it. They changed it.
It was a lot better.
It was much better. The problem was,
I would still just prefer no music. If you're gonna do music and you need background music, just go to like, you know, the Music Cat or whatever it is on Twitch and just turn up some little dubstep or whatever you want to play in the background.
So their dilemma was, and they one of them came out and I guess talked about it because it was a big issue. I mean, it ended up being a big thing on Reddit, on Discord. I mean, it was quite talked about. It was either they faced that towards the BYOC, or they turn it around and face it towards the players. And obviously,
Hearthstone pros, they did complain. The Hearthstone were complaining.
Good thing is with Hearthstone, you don't need it now. Frustrating as it is, you don't need audio for the game essentially to be good at it, right? Concentration,
sure.
Yes. But then there's plenty of reasons why you don't want the music that loud. But like, you can't face it towards the CS players who are not even using true noise canceling headphones. They couldn't hear anyway, and even they brought it up, you know, like we had mentioned before. So we ended up getting the short end of the stick there. That was probably the worst part of the event, other than the 8.25 pizzas they were selling there, pizza slices they were selling. But I ate like 3 of them. So.
They were good.
Yeah,
good pizza, just expensive. As far as I know, some people were asking on Twitter, which you can follow us at The Center Ring, how our tournament play went. So you'd
show
be
us
good
how that
to
volume
know.
Button works again.
We got first place. We dominated everyone, and that's all that needs to be said.
I did get MVP. That was exciting. No, let's be real. So let's tell the audience what happened here, and I'm just gonna be totally brutally honest here. Our first round game, we got a bye. So we automatically got advanced to the second round because the team that was playing us, somebody wasn't there, blah, blah, blah. So
whatever.
We ended up getting a bye.
We'll take it.
We took it. So we got to the second round. Well, the first team we played in the second round was a ESEA main or open team. Open team that had gone 13-3, made it into the playoffs, advanced.
And for those who don't know, because not all of our listeners follow CSGO, ESEA Open Team is, so you have like Major League Baseball, then you have the minor leagues, and then you kind of have like AAA underneath that. It's like AAA.
Yeah. Very good players though, okay?
Yes.
This was a real team They were very coordinated.
Yes, that was one thing. We were a group of five friends who maybe play together once every other week.
We play like 10 games together. So when we're playing, we're not only playing CS because there's more than five of us a lot of the time. Yeah. So yeah, we go into this first game and we knew like first round, second round in, we're like, oh man, like these guys know what's up. We got 16.
Obliterated. I think we got the bomb
pretty
down.
Pretty much. Twice. Like we were in 8 one-on-one situations and couldn't close the deal. But they were very, very good. Props to them. I forgot their name.
I think they got like third place.
Yeah, they got like third out there. The winner was an all-Asian team. Asian Weebs, I think they were, is what their team name was. They played really well. They were, again, another like semi-pro team or trying to get
in. It was rough. I was not having
second
fun
game,
with that.
A double elimination. Second game, we did quite better. I think it was 16-13.
It was 16-13, and it was nuke.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
It was nuke. One of our players on our team
play nuke.
Didn't even play
nuke. We're in
nuke.
The middle of playing, and I'm like, guys, go ramp. And Ronnie's like, where's ramp? And right there, I knew. I was like, oh, no.
And that was like 12 rounds when we were like, hey, Ronnie, go to ramp. And he just didn't know,
how
unfortunately.
How did we get to this point, Ronnie? Yeah. You not tell us that you don't know where ramp is?
So it was okay, but it was like 16-13 second game, and it was a good game.
I got salty.
A little bit. It's okay. Nope. I got asked, the team that beat us, I got asked to play one game with them after they advanced because their fifth had to leave, emergency leave. We lost that game also, 16-13.
So what you're saying is you're the problem?
I don't know. Something wasn't right.
Common denominator.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, again, fun. We knew we weren't expecting big things out of it. We wanted to do it for fun, which it was.
It was. It was
the first game
year,
was not fun.
Next year we'll do better.
But we advanced to the second round, so shut up.
Next year will be better. Yeah. Overall, I would give the event, I want to say 9 out of 10 because of the memories. When I was there, I'd probably say 8 out of 10 because that music on Friday was ruined.
Yeah.
You have a 2-night event and you completely destroyed one night because of the music.
So let me give you, my number's going to be way different than yours. And a fun factor between me and playing with friends and like me being there with my boys, 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10.
You're right.
That was great. I loved it. We had friends fly in town. We appreciate them coming down. That was a blast. So we really, really enjoyed that part of it. But from an event, just truly an event standpoint, if I could look back, I would give them maybe, and this is pushing it, a 6 to a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay, I agree. And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Technical delays to
the
volume.
Hype, the hype of being there with the gang.
Yeah.
We had TCR t-shirts. That was pretty dope.
That was cool.
We met the owner of Threes Up, Call of Duty team. So that was cool. It was neat getting to see them, but
I got to be in Ryu's video log.
Right?
So that was neat. We'll post that on Twitter just so y'all can see
that.
Met a lot of cool people.
Apart from that, though, I think that hype and excitement and memory is carrying them to an 8 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
Because you're right.
I'm separating the two. Right. So if I'm doing them as two ratings, I guess you combine them, you're going to give me an
average 7. They have to do next year better as far as
everything.
Everything
has to be better. Like the lights were off in half of the BYOC, and I thought that was great for those people. We were in the section where all the lights were on. So
up until the very end where you had to pack up.
And then
they turned the lights off.
And like, it was like, are you kidding
Sunday
me?
Sunday afternoon when you actually have to pack up, they turn the lights off. And you're like, did you guys just find the light switch? Like what?
Yeah, it was confusing. So like there was a number of things that were bothersome, annoying. But like I said, all in all, we went there to go game. We went there to go
we're
play.
We're
going to
do it again next year.
We're
going
to do it again. So they just need to make it better. They need to take the feedback and do better, give us press passes. We will never say
real,
a negative
dude.
Thing, but other than that, event
See
was...
See half the people that had press passes there, and here we are sitting like a bunch of weebs. Like,
right?
Come on. Don't you know who we are?
They didn't know. I guess the shirts didn't help.
They don't. Next year, I'm also going to compete in Super Smash Brothers because, I mean, I could just learn one move and get into that.
You know what? I got to give you props on them on this. So another last thing I want to mention about the tournament here. We did have like a Airbnb about 2 minutes from the venue. It was great. It was like, I mean, so
perfect
close.
Location.
It was like, couldn't have been better. We couldn't ask for a better
spot.
Could
have had another shower.
Good job to, rest in peace, Brandon, for taking care of that and finding the spot for us. We appreciate him, old member of the show. But we went back to the house.
Right.
We had a Wii U there.
He was on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 20 episodes ago. Okay.
So we went back to the house. We had a Wii U there. Tim's got some game. Like, Tim came out knowing all the moves on like every Smash player, and we brought some competition. We had Ronnie there for him. They made it like entertaining to watch. It felt like we had our own like Smash Finals going on. You had all these like
we're pretty good,
like average, below average players. Probably we were a bunch of below average players, and then Ronnie and Tim would play, and it was like watching a pro match. And so that was super exciting. We played a lot of Smash the last like
me
day
and, Ronnie,
and a half.
We talked, and we are gonna start practicing and training for next year.
Oh yeah,
like, we're legit gonna try to do the one on one tournaments and stuff.
And they had them. They had them for like Wii U, which was cool. For they had Wii U's
well,
and GameCubes.
Really cool. Yeah, they did have stations there for like the console where you could just bring your controller and go play.
Yeah, we all went and plugged in
know,
and played. And
next year, I mean, it's not like bringing a Wii U is bad.
Y'all met those random like guys there that you ended up playing with on the last day.
Yep.
And, you know, so you find people of your competition level and you can really kind of enjoy that. And hopefully next year they'll have the Switch out there and that'll be neat. But yeah, all in all, good, bad, ugly.
Go there next year and we'll say hey and go from that.
Yeah.
So real quick, because we're kind of running behind. We're not on a clock. We just say we're going to shoot for 45 minutes because we want to go home. And then, you know, it's talking esports, right? It's what we like. So Smash Melee happened at the event. Normally, a huge premiere, like Smash Melee crowd and stuff, like they get hyped. Like, don't you remember last year? Or you might have left before the finals, but... They normally have a very loud, ruckus crowd.
It's just a game
Melee
that everybody can kind of follow and has played, usually from our generation, right?
Right.
So they have a big following.
Well, it's the same pros that have been there forever.
Yeah.
So it's everybody has their favorite and then things like that. So this year, okay, Mango gets fourth place. Very disappointing. It happens. Whatever. I did get a picture with him, though. He won doubles. So I watched him win doubles, which is very not worth anything because there's not even a prize pool for double.
It's still fun.
It's there just so the pros have something to do on Friday. But
Mango looked like he was having a good time.
Dude,
so
that
we'll
guy
let him slide.
He does not ever not have a beer in his hand.
Yeah.
That guy is always drinking.
You know,
as you can tell
him
from our liner, he sounded quite well quenched. Mewtwo King got third place. Chudat got second. And Hungrybox got first. That's all fine and great. Where this issue lies, so they had the fighting games, Street Fighter and Smash, right next to each other. So we were sitting in the middle Sunday watching this, me, Brett, and Donut. We were watching both of them at the same time. Well, we were watching this Street Fighter match because this, not the finals, I think it was in like the losers finals. And people were getting hyped up in the crowd. So we were watching this because this was a very intense match. You would think that they were warming up in Super Smash Brothers because just nothing was going on. No one was cheering. So, okay, whatever. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, everyone starts getting up and leaving. And I'm like, whoa. Like,
game just happened? Or
like, yeah.
Or what?
Like, are we coming back here?
Yeah.
Or did I miss something? Are we having technical issues? What's going on? And some guy was like, no, that was the grand finals. It's over. HBox won. I was like, what? Like, come again? Like, did I just miss the grand finals for Smash? Like, I'm literally sitting 40 feet from this giant projector. Like, how did I miss this?
And
like,
see no action.
Like, what happened? What am I missing here? And that's because I went back and I watched the replay of it, and it was the most boring, dull finals. It's embarrassing for the Smash community, really. It's you have one of your premier tournaments. All of the top pros are there. Every pro really was there. Armada was there. He had to back out, for those wondering what happened to Armada, for a really weird reason. Armada backed out because he was having controller issues.
Couldn't get him another controller?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I guess maybe the pros are really particular about warming up with a controller or whatever. I'm like, all right, whatever, dude.
Hungrybox
did
what he had to do, though, going into
this. Yeah, so what happened was, Chudat, I'm not a fan of him. I don't think highly of Chudat. I don't know if maybe I'm in the minority there. I know on Twitter and stuff, people like him.
After
right?
this finals, I'm going to have to be in the same boat as you.
Like,
here.
I don't respect Ice Climber players in Melee. Okay? If you're into Melee, please tweet the show. Email the show. Do something to give me a reason to respect Ice Climber players, because I don't. They do the wobble move, which, for those who don't know the wobble, if you just Google Smash Wobble, you'll probably find that, or something inappropriate. But it's basically the Ice Climbers will juggle grabbing you. So you can constantly grab someone until infinity and then just knock them off the mat.
For those that don't know, you get two players when you're playing that character.
Yeah, the Ice Climbers has like basically two, one controllable and one's a computer that follows you around. So you can juggle like that. It's the biggest cheese move out there. And I can't believe that the Smash community in Melee has gotten it to this point. I think the only reason it is because really only Chudat and Attendude are the two pros that play as them. It's not like it's a widespread thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that Chudat is getting to the grand finals doing this, I think it hurts the scene a lot because it's not entertaining to watch. It's as a fan, I'm going to watch good games.
You're not watching anything when you're watching a guy juggle somebody and then pop him into the air.
You have top pros like Mango or Mewtwo King or HBox losing to someone who is not doing any type of skill or technique. It's literally, in today's terms, that would be patched.
So now people are probably asking, hey, so how did HungryBox win this if he was using the Ice Climbers?
So HungryBox's strategy to combat this was to run out the clock.
Yep.
Like, hey, I'm Jigglypuff. I can float.
He took an early lead.
So what happened was Chudat was up 2-0 overall in the finals. He only had to win one more game, and he won DreamHack Austin. Yeah. So at that point, HBox basically went into safe mode and decided, okay, as soon as I get the lead, or as soon as I felt like, okay, I'm probably not going to win this, I can't risk it, he's just going to run away. He's going to get enough to where he can be considered a winner and run out the clock. So he did that for two games. It ended up being tied 2-2, winner takes all. He didn't even mess around at that point.
Nope.
He killed him, I think, once or twice.
For like 4 minutes, it was jumping around, huffing and puffing around, just getting out of the way. And
is it a bitch move? Yes.
On HungryBox's part?
It's...
No way.
It's... No, by definition, running out the clock is not a cool move to do in a grand finals.
Well, only in this situation, though. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And this is where I want to get into the discussion of ethics in esports and in general. You can really just do gaming in general if you want.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about ethics and things like that. Because like I said, I don't respect them at all. Do I respect a player that uses the Ice Climbers and will do something like the wobble and constantly grab them and grab them and grab them like that?
You're welcome on the show at any point, Chudat, just to discuss this.
I would love to speak with a Ice Climber player of his caliber and be like, look, dude, like, I know you're getting to second place and you are a quote-unquote top pro.
But where are your balls?
Where
are your balls
like,
in this case?
When you're seeing all of these other pros, like, having, you see all these matches and all these epic finals, and then here's you, where it's just kind of like, not...
You don't have to be a pro to do that. That's the worst part about it. Like, anybody could really essentially get in.
YouTube right now, how to do the wobble as Ice Climbers.
And if you cheese it long enough, you might make it all the way to the finals.
You figure it out and you're great.
Yeah.
And that's basically what he's done, is you've seen him slowly kind of work his way up.
Yeah.
I'm sure his knowledge of the game is top notch, but when you're getting there doing that, and like we've kind of already discussed, like HBox, for example, normally that would be a very frowned upon move. He's done it before. HBox already doesn't have the best reputation in Smash. Like, he's kind of always been the villain, and people have just now recently in the last couple of years starting to be like, hey, it's HBox. You know, like, he won Evo. That was a big emotional thing for him, so everyone kind of started liking him. And then this turns around. And oddly enough, I heard a lot of people calling him out. Like, saying, okay, well, HBox did a bitch move. He flew away. He ran out the clock.
Yeah.
But to me,
I had no issue with
you got to fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the old definition.
Counter to that move, right? What are you supposed to do? If you get in range of him and he grabs you,
why risk it?
So just so you know, when they're grabbing you, you have no way of getting out.
No.
There's no way to get out of this move.
Unless he screws
up. Yeah, he has to mess it up. So you as a player can't do anything skill-based wise to get out of that move. He gets you up to 120. Tosses you in there, it's game over at that point. So to combat it, you got to jump around, stay out of range, take the lead, and hey, he did what he had to do. He won.
I normally am very against these kind of cheesy moves in any game, right? It's using the auto sniper in Counter-Strike, to me, is another one where you're like, okay, well, that's not really... Like, no kill with an auto sniper is really going to be make me be like, damn, that was a nice shot.
The difference to me in those two situations is what he was doing in Melee... They're not going to patch because, like you had mentioned to me earlier,
it's an older,
it's an older
patch,
game. They don't patch it, right? Internet. With CS, that is a tactical part of the game. It's just frowned upon to use it because it's considered more of a, you know, a noob weapon to be able to use. But at the end of the day, it does cost a lot of money. Your team's investing a lot into having one.
You risk
so
it.
So you're risking you of it, giving right? it to the other team and this
There's
and that.
There's more thought.
Yeah.
It is frowned upon.
Within
though.
Melee is like, well, you know, you think of, you know, it's CS.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing in Melee, though, where it's not illegal to do the wobble. It's not illegal to run out the clock. It's
but only
upon.
Because they really don't go back in and patch this game. Had this game been able to be patched at this point, oh, you would think that would be out in a heartbeat,
I would
right?
hope that, even though I don't put a whole lot of faith in Nintendo.
Let's give them some credit here, though. They did make a good game.
I would
so.
Assume that would be something that yeah. would be taken out.
Yeah. It's not in the new ones, so... Can't do it in like,
Well, they don't even have ice climbers in the newest one.
Well, exactly, but maybe that's to the point of like where it's like, hey, if we take this out of the game, they're kind of a useless character potentially, or whatever. Maybe the thought process was, but they're not available to you. So, yeah, I mean, I heard you mention earlier this kind of caught my eye because you had mentioned Michael Vick and Madden. I was a Michael Vick player.
That doesn't surprise me, Anuj.
Does it not? Does it not? And you could run four wide. And have them all do go routes.
And then you just run it up.
You just, well, you have your option. Either he's going to have to blitz you, and I'm going to throw it up deep, and you could go be the receiver and go up for the catch. Or if they don't blitz you and they drop back, well, I'm going to go for about a 20 to 30 yard game every single time. Yeah, I mean, looking back at it, I won a lot of money, man. I don't feel too bad.
And I'm sure that's what Chudat said. Those are probably the exact words that Chudat said after DreamHack. Was like, well...
I did win $2,500.
Yeah,
you know?
2,000. Yeah, he's like, yeah, ah,
whatever he got. From
I might have played like a bitch, but I'm $2,000 richer. So
yeah, in college it wasn't the most well respected thing, but you know I had a lot of friends that kind of did the same thing, so we never hated on each other. But yeah, from the outside perspective, if I'd play people that didn't play a lot, they didn't stand a chance if you're doing something like that.
No, it's. Like I said, I would love to interview a Smash pro and get a professional's opinion of like, because you could even see on HBox's faces after the match, he kind of stood up and did like the whole like...
Oh, the whole shrug. Arr. Like, hey, what he said without saying anything is, what else did you want me to do?
Right.
Like, what was I supposed to do? You left me no choice but to do this.
How about
strategy.
You beat me two games in a row by...
grabbing me.
Like, and, I would love to. Maybe I'll do this one time. Is go back, and I would love to go back and watch all of Chudat matches at DreamHack Austin and see, and I could probably just do it for the finals, how many of the kills were as a direct result of the wobble combo.
Yeah. But the fact that he's going for it, even if...
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's all he's going
H-Box
for.
HBox doesn't know what his intentions are. The fact that he's that player, he's notorious for doing it before... Again, I can't blame HBox for using the tactic he had to use.
I think you got to fight fire with fire.
Had he done that in any other situation, any other character that he's playing against?
Had he been playing Mango and Mango was legit just trying to get him, then it would be a different story.
Totally different. So, yeah, like you said, he fought fire with fire. He won. I'm happy he won. He deserved that victory, in my opinion. And so we, you know, just a... cheesy move. It's just a dirty feeling.
What it is. It's kind of, you got to pull the HBox and just kind of shrug and be like, I mean, what do you want from me? That being said, there were pros out there. One funny tweet from Tempo S2J saying that he was Mayweathered. Kind of given
defensive.
A little. Right.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that's maybe a bash against HBox, but hey, whatever. And then you have Mango tweets. Saying, sorry you guys have to watch that Garbo. I only still play this game to prevent it. On the other side, get effed Jason and Chu, Jason being Mewtwo King. Cheesy Fs. Good job, Juan. HBox, the king of outlaming the lamers, LMAO. So he was not, like, Mango
was
not.
He was not feeling it. No, like, he was just not happy with that.
He was throwing the punches and everything there, which is why I would have to imagine, if you ask Mango, like, hey, why should I respect Ice Climbers players? He'd probably shoot back and be like, you don't.
You don't respect him. Like, I mean, he just flat out said, I don't respect you for what you're doing. So, yeah, I don't feel like it should be part of the game. There should be some type of maybe mutual discussion between
there should be a
top
gentleman's
pro players
agreement
or just, something. Yeah. You see that in other games again.
At this point, I feel like it's maybe too late, right? You had, the game's kind of irrelevant now, but Mortal Kombat X, they've kind of, the developers of that game have kind of destroyed it because of they did way too many balancing and everything there. It just wasn't that great of a game. But in that game, they introduced the alien character.
Yep.
Dude, that was another one where Sonic Fox would win every tournament with him. And he was just the cheesiest player. He would spit acid on the ground. And you couldn't do anything to combat it because then he would jump up, hit you, and it's like, okay, so what do I do? Like, I'm either going to get hit in the face or I got to dodge it and jump in the pool of acid you just spit. And any alien character, I think anybody in that game would tell you the same thing. Like, nah, F alien players, dude. Like, it's the least skill type of player.
What's just crazy here is that Smash has been around for how long now?
Right. Like, it's too late now for them to change it, I think.
Well, it's never too late to make a gentleman's agreement on it because you're not going to want to see more finals like this. And what will end up happening is maybe not the players coming to that decision, but the organizers. You think the organizers want to see a final
that
like
is
that
what would
ultimately?
Happen first.
So
I think because here's my thing in esports as a competitor in general, but especially in the FGC, those guys will never admit that they can't find a way to beat someone.
Yeah.
I mean, look at HBox in general. Like, he's the only Jigglypuff player out there. And it's because he's learned how to win with her.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of pride in the sense of like, no, I can beat anyone with my guy. Right? So they'll never admit it that they can't find a way. He found a way.
Well, he found a way, right? But it's not from an organizer standpoint. It's not what you want to see in a match. You know,
and that's what
totally kills it.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be DreamHack or any of these guys.
Look
being
at
like,
ESL and all these guys for CS or even for Dota tournaments. When there's major changes made within the game and there's an upcoming tournament around
R8
the corner.
Revolver.
Yeah. They'll turn around and say, hey,
imagine,
can't buy it for, like, it's physically in the game still,
but
they'll say, hey, you cannot buy it.
Imagine if Valve never fixed the R8 revolver and they kept it the way it was when it first came in.
Like, it would have ruined the game.
Because I remember for like a hot, maybe two nights in the ESL Pro League, you could do it.
Yeah.
And it was like every pro would get it and it was
one shot madness.
It was ridiculous.
A running op, you know, and it was fun. For a couple of days.
Yeah, it's fun for a little bit, but until you realize, like, oh my God, this is. I remember jumping into matchmaking games, and that's literally all you. Like, we'd be like, guys, all right, we got like $14,000. Let's buy up. And you just see people fully buy out, and then they would get the R8. They wouldn't even buy an AK because it's like, why?
No need.
Why? I have a one shot pistol.
And now you see that with, like, the Negev people were worried about early on. Now you've come to realize it's not as good, but still, like, when games make changes, organizers have the ability to say, no, not, this is not happening in our tournament. We're not going to see a whole tournament go to waste because we're going to have 10 players running around with an R8, so that's what I think will end up happening, hopefully, here, if you see this to become a trend. We don't see this in that many of the Smash tournaments.
No, literally, this was a big deal because it was the perfect storm.
Yeah,
it was chewed at in the grand finals and HBox saying, well, I'm just not going to play your game and I'm just going to fly around and win.
You had two people participate in a game style that you would never want to see happen in the finals. One leading the other to do it, obviously. But yeah, something like that is what can eventually
It was the domino effect. It was the perfect storm, whatever you want to call it. But even in the reverse side, if it wasn't HBox, right? And say this was at EVO, which is like the biggest fighting tournament around.
Can you imagine?
Imagine if Chudat makes it to the grand finals and he wins just constantly doing that to Mewtwo King.
Imagine if that Street Fighter match of Justin Wong getting out with Chung Lee and who was it, Ken, and it was just both of them jumping away from each other.
Yeah.
You would never have the highlight reel. Like, you don't have the action. If you don't have the action, you don't have an exciting game. And in a fighting game, you know, it's called a fighting game. You're supposed to fight. And so when you find ways to cheat these games, it's just rather annoying and makes you seem like the loser at the end of the day. Even had Chewed Out won.
That's what I'm saying.
It would have been zero respect.
It still would have just left a felt bad taste. Yeah. Some people would have been like, hell yeah, Chewed Out, you finally won. But I think the majority of the people would have been like, man, you didn't really fight. You cheesed it up.
Yeah, Chewed Out used two players the whole tournament. Jigglypuff and Ice Climbers.
I don't know. It's not my...
No. He did get $2,000 for it.
Hashtag not my fighter.
But, yeah.
We'll see what tournament organizers do with that. As far as, though, let's move on to this, because we have a lot of stuff piling up here, so we just need to get some spring cleaning done, if you will.
Just run through them.
Let's run through it here, and then we'll wrap up the show with E-News. First thing, it's spring cleaning in the closet. We have the E-League Street Fighter V going on here. I know we said we were going to talk about it every show, but just timing doesn't really allow for it with our schedules and DreamHack, blah, blah, blah. So in Group A, you had Punk and Momochi moving on. Punk in the winners, Momochi in losers. Group B, PR Balrog and Daigo, which you almost had a run-in with Daigo. You did see him.
I saw him.
Was he practicing? Was he warming up?
It was funny. We were picking up our, me and Ronnie were picking up our chairs from the booth over there.
Oh, okay.
And when we went to go pick it up, they go, oh, hey, Ronnie, we don't have your chair here with you. It's being used in this other area. So we
went
to go see it.
Was Daigo using his chair?
Daigo was sitting in his chair.
I sat in the same chair as Daigo.
Right? He was doing it was not even a warm-up. They were having him do like a skills thing for a video shoot they were doing. So they were using Ronnie's chair because it was like a nice black chair that he had. And he was doing a warm-up and showing like they were taking pictures.
Did he ever find out about the handle?
Oh, yeah, he did. They said that they were going to replace it for him.
Oh,
yeah.
Very
they said
cool.
It's a free replacement. So it's
that ain't bad.
Yeah, 2-year warranty or something, full replacement. So he's already.
It's not bad for buying a floor used chair for 50% off.
That Daigo sat in.
Yeah, for real.
Ronnie went home and.
Keep that cushion.
You know what happened there.
Oh, yeah, he's a Japanese person. So I don't know what that means. Group C, you had Fudo and Wolfchrone. They actually just did that last night. So Fudo and Wolfchrone moved on from Group C. You got Group D, I believe, coming up here. Next week in CSGO, you know, one thing we haven't talked much about at all this year were the pro leagues in CSGO. Last seasons, we kind of did like a weekly kind of recap, but just so much going on right now.
It's so
just,
many tournaments. It's unbelievable.
Well, this weekend in the pre-show, we were like, hey, have you watched any of the tournament? And I was like, which one?
Yeah.
You have IEM.
Yeah,
you got
Sydney's going on.
Sydney IEM going on.
DreamHack going on.
Masters going on. It's just like, dude, like, no, I haven't watched a tournament. Either way, so in ECS, let's update you on the standings for ECS North American. Oddly enough, this makes no sense to me, but keep in mind, ECS has been all over the map on who's played how many games.
Yeah.
CLG is in first place.
Temporarily.
Yes. Again. This grain of salt with the ECS because it's still early on in the season. Optic Gaming is in third. Optic Gaming is in second. SK is in third. Grain of salt. I'm pretty sure SK has played like two games or something like that compared to CLG, who's played like
eight.
Six or eight. Yeah, like like I said, their schedules have been very uneven.
Well, SK has been in a lot of tournaments, so.
You're saying CLG has a lot more time on the weekend.
Yeah, a little bit more time to play some matches. They can get a couple knocked out.
Matches. As far as the big dogs, Team Liquid is 6th. Cloud9 is 7th. Again, they've played very little games. So
was Immortals 8th?
Yeah, Immortals is 8th. Luminosity 10th. I mean, it's just
too
ECS
early to tell.
Is all over the place for their NA ladder. Too early to tell anything right now. As far as EU goes, this looks
normal.
Still a little bit all over the place, but it looks normal. You have Astralis being first, FaZe being second, G2 is third, Mouse Sports fourth, Envy is fifth. More normal there. One thing that is just we've come to expect in online leagues, Virtus Pro, last place. They are 10th.
Keep an eye out on Mouse. That's one of the more interesting teams. That's probably something we'll get into in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, they picked up Ropes.
It's been incredible, the run they've been on.
I was watching them yesterday, this morning.
This morning, and they were dominated.
And I thought, you know, that's a team that I'm impressed with the way they, like, Nico left and they kept right on going. And dare I say it,
they've improved. Kind of
kept pace.
No, they've actually, like, done better post Nico. And that's not because, like, Nico was a bad player at all. Obviously, right. Nico's taken FaZe to whole new heights that they would have never obtained before. But ropes fitting in, it's become more of a team dynamic, I feel, mm-hmm. and not so much, hey, let's focus on Nico. Plus, Oscar has now stepped into the opping role. Chris J has gone into the rifle role. It's worked out tremendously for them, and they have been on one heck of a run. So something to just keep an eye out with Mouse there.
I've been very impressed with Mouse. Now, moving on to the ESL Pro League, which is wrapping up, I believe, this week. I think they only have a couple more weeks left because that finals is
Dallas
June which
3rd.
We will be at. So yep. If you're going to the Dallas ESL finals, that should be a... I'm interested to see how that works out. It's a little easier when it's one game event. Like at the major, it was very easy to go to because it's only Counter-Strike and you're there for the sole purpose of watching. It's also 20-30 minutes from our home, so we can stay as late as we want and not feel the hurt of driving home late or anything like that,
or even going back and forth in between.
Like go get lunch or something. We can do that. We know the area, so it should be a little bit more of a relief for us. But in EU for the ESL Pro League, that looks a little, like I said, these are a little bit more played out. You know, everyone is at just about 22 matches. 24, 22 matches, give or take. So you have North in first place on that one. They had a really good... I mean, they've gone 17-7.
Had a good start, but have been slumping as of lately.
I was about to say, North is one of those teams that, you know, remember when they went from Dignitas to North, and it was, they were really hot. Like, they were a top team.
Even playing well when they initially got AZ, and now it's just gone downhill from there.
They haven't had a good footing. Mouse Sports, though, like we were saying... They're in second place for EU ladder. Yep. That's huge. G2 and Astralis is third and fourth.
And G2, after starting off, I believe, 0-8 or 0-6 in Pro League. So, good little run
now,
for them.
Refresh my memory, because it is not that well. French Shuffle, that happened during the Pro League, right? Or did that happen
before? That happened prior to the Pro League.
So it did happen prior to
either,
start?
There might have been a game or something, but... The French
happened
Shuffle
way early.
Pretty early on. So I think
Envious,
it might have even been prior to the league.
Envious is 10-12. So they're hurting at ninth place. Now, Team Kingwin is last place. Okay? That's not saying much. Because they actually have four less games than 13th place, which is Virtus Pro.
What's their record?
9-15. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, they're saving it for the saving it for the lands.
So here's
as
the thing.
Usual.
I saw Taz one time tweet out recently saying, like, man, this is embarrassing. We need to figure it out. And this is not up to our caliber. And in my head, I'm like, but it is, Taz. This is your caliber.
This is like, what they do.
This is what you guys do on online play for whatever reason. Don't give me the BS. Well, it's online. It plays differently than LAN. Okay. Yes, you're right. Maybe by like a fraction of a frame. Like, it does not make that... You don't go from winning majors to going 9-15 because of it's online.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, not gonna happen. Not believing that's going to happen.
Honestly, as long as they keep performing well in the land events, right, it's not gonna matter. There's no need to change anything. But once those two kind of combine, you're gonna have some problems.
Don't let online play leak into your LAN play.
Yeah.
Because you're Virtus Pro, you're going to get invited anywhere because of your name.
And if you don't get invited, they'll make an extra spot for you.
And I know one time a listener, new listener to the show, was getting into Counter-Strike, and he was saying, hey, you know, I want to start following a team, and I kind of gravitated towards Virtus Pro. Is that a good team? And I was like, dude, yeah, that's a really good team to follow. They have their ups and downs. I don't think anyone will call you a bandwagoner for doing it. It's, you know, it's Virtus Pro. It's a crowd favorite. There's not really a reason to hate them. The
good
players are good.
Good personalities.
Right.
And yeah.
It's not like Fnatic. If you chose Fnatic, you'd probably get, you know, some looks there. This is the one thing that my one gripe to Virtus Pro is that they do not care about online play. And ESL and all these organizations have basically told them, hey, it doesn't matter how you perform. We got your back. Because you have... These guys, where last, like for example, last season, they technically shouldn't, they shouldn't be in this season at
all. Shouldn't be in Pro League.
They got relegated.
Yeah.
Or relegated.
Relegated.
Not regulated, but.
Same thing.
Same thing for them. They got relegated last year into the Premier League. That's why they were Virtus Premier as a joke. And then all of a sudden, randomly, because remember.
Was it that random?
It was Penta. Was it, it was Penta random? Penta Esports were supposed to be the team in the league, right? Penta qualified. They were, they're not even in the league now. And they were supposed to be Penta Esports. Then all of a sudden, ESL was like, hey, revolutionary idea. We're going to have like a little four-man tournament to get you qualified. And Penta was like, nah, this is BS. We qualified for the league already. We shouldn't have to do a tournament. And go figure, who is in this little qualifier tournament? Virtus Pro. We've talked about it on the show when it happened. It's BS.
Yeah.
It was
completely a made up rule to give them another opportunity.
Made up rule because they knew they had to have Virtus Pro in the Pro League to make it more legit. And Virtus Pro, I think very unprofessional of them, said that they weren't even going to play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, you're either going to put us in the Pro League or we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Virtus Pro, here you are yet again in the same situation in two leagues.
Yeah.
One of them is not going to keep giving you a pass to the Pro League every year if you're not going to take it serious. It's going to have to happen. One of these leagues have to break eventually.
Have to hold strong.
Yeah, be like, nah, dude, these are the rules.
A lot of money involved having them in there. So, I mean, I see both sides of it. But yeah, it's an unfair. It's kind of one of the issues of esports. A lot of this stuff is still done under the table or in a corrupt fashion.
There's no rules.
Yeah.
NA looks about right, though. You have the Brazilian teams, SK and Immortals up top at 1 and 2. Cloud9 being third. Liquid being fourth. That's about what you would expect there. One weird thing, but I guess they've been going through growing pains. Optic Gaming is down to 7th, where Misfits and NRG is 5th and 6th. They're above them.
How many qualify for Dallas?
That is a good question. You know, I tried looking this up the other day. It's not the easiest to find a Nuge. You know esports.
Yeah.
If you want to just find this out, let me see here.
Oh, there, that's it right
there. Let's see. True Legends, blah, blah, blah. It looks like North.
So 12 teams.
Yep. North, SK, and Europe. 12 teams qualify, yes. So far, it looks like the three teams that are in for sure is Mouse, SK, and North.
Okay.
Those are the three teams officially in. Like I said, it's wrapping up. Let me see here.
You know, while Tim's looking this up, for those of you that don't know, Pro League coming back to Dallas is a pretty big deal because this has kind of been one of the most historical places, similar to how we see like ESL Cologne and all that, mm-hmm. as far as...
Yeah, this is the last week for Pro League.
Yeah.
Like, so we'll know who's... By the end of this week, we'll know who's made it. We're going
to
see.
So it all coming back to Dallas is a really cool thing because you've had some of the most biggest CS moments, I would say, or esports moments have taken place in Dallas. So for them to return here is pretty cool and... you know, thankfully it's ESL again, so I think that'll be great.
Hopefully we do it right, man.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It's at the Verizon Theater. There's not a whole lot to do out there except for the horse racing track and like a AAA baseball team, but
there's really not a whole lot
A weird spot for them to pick when you have so much things like right in downtown. Well, I don't know where the players
they
are
always
stay
used to
at.
Do it at the Renaissance here off of 35, mm-hmm. you know, the nice,
yeah.
like the cool.
The Renaissance, the MLG used to do at the Hilton Anatole.
Yeah.
Last time,
which MLG, are right across the street from each other. Yeah. And it's like right in next to downtown. So it's so nice.
They had it, MLG did it in the Fort Worth Convention Center the last time they were here. So it's weird. I mean, the Verizon Center that it's at, it's nice. The Verizon
Probably just
Theater,
a good deal.
It's nice.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's going to work well because it's a concert hall or a theater.
Yeah.
So you do have a stage with all the seats. Looking at that stage, they don't have to set anything up. It's literally there.
It's all set up for them.
So it's going to be comfortable. It's not going
there
to
just
be,
won't be a lot to
right,
do.
Like for example,
of...
like DreamHack Austin. Dude,
yeah,
there's Austin. You're a block away from Sixth Street. You're a block away from
everything.
The store. If you're into like history, go
except for fast food.
Oh my! Or a drugstore or anything else that doesn't cost you half of your monthly budget for food. It's like, man, I just want something cheap. Ah, okay. Here's a $13 taco.
There you go.
Which we didn't even get to, by the way, but I don't we don't have enough time for me to get into my taco debate.
We'll save it for the salt mine. It
took me 45 minutes to get one taco, man. That restaurant was trash.
I also went on prom night, it looked like, over there.
Dude, no, it was like a wedding party. Those ladies, man. Their mothers would be ashamed of them, but not bad. Not bad. So yeah, the ESL Pro League is wrapping up this week. It looks like last matches are going to be on Thursday with North America. As far as North Americans go, though, like I said, everything looks to be about normal. We were saying CLG right now is in first place in ECS. They're in eighth right now for the Pro League.
So they're...
So you're going to get the top six teams going. So if things stay put right now, you're going to have Cloud9, Liquid, NRG, and this actually would be really cool to see in person is Misfits. That would be really cool to see them qualify. It's a shame, though, because I believe that same weekend there is some Australian-Asian tournament going on again. It was the same thing that happened last year because Renegades have already said if they qualify, they're not going to go because of this Asian tournament.
Okay, let's be real. They would be the only ones not to go to ESL Pro League.
No, I know, but it's just, again, scheduling conflict.
Same issue, like yeah.
Because, you know, the Detroit Renegades have to go to that Australian tournament, because that's how that's
owner
how
just leave them somewhere. That's not what we talked about last time.
Was it Renegades? I don't remember that being though for CS. Was it?
It was for CS. Maybe it wasn't Renegades. I forgot the team.
I don't know, man. That was like 2 weeks ago. You think I remember that type of stuff?
Did we have a show last week?
No, we did not. Right. Did DreamHack? Then last thing here, real quick, and then we'll get on to E News and we'll be out of here. One last thing for spring cleaning. We didn't talk about this 2 weeks ago, and I really wanted to. H1Z1 was on TV. They did the CW special. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, saying to watch it. Man, I'm sorry if you watched it, because it was terrible. Did you watch any of it? Didn't you, like, turn it on for, like, 5 minutes, you said?
I checked it for, like, a brief second, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go play PUBG instead.
Dude, it was terrible. It was... So, the CW did it. They've done it before with Mortal Kombat. I thought that was an awful production. This was just equally as bad in the sense of they had Gold Glove and some other dude commentating it. They were terrible. They're not play-by-play guys. They're Twitch boys, you know? They got their fanboys behind them. That's why they did it. It was pre-recorded. So every kill, and I get they do it because of A, the time, but B, they want to show kills. That's not what esports wants, right? Like, no one like, hey, man, I just really want to see all the action, so let's pre-record this football game and then just see the touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not... You basically watched an hour-long highlight reel of an H1Z1 game. It was terrible.
It's unfortunate timing for them because
everyone's time.
The game is becoming more and more irrelevant.
Well, and
every
I
day
feel like,
too.
Like this was their chance, right? Like it was the first major survival esports tournament. Like that's how they market it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's 2017. You don't have to show this pre-recorded on a delay.
No.
Like you could have shown this any other way. You could have just done it on Twitch or
the games
anything.
Are not even that long anyway.
They're not.
Though. It's like
maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So the fact that you were able to stretch this into an hour long show, it's dumb.
Did you watch the charity stream?
So PUBG did a charity stream, and I did watch that.
I enjoyed it.
And I enjoyed that even for all the bugs and glitches. And they openly said, like, hey, look, this is not meant to be competitive esports right now. We're doing this for charity. And more so, we're doing it as a test to see how this would
work. And... Hey, I thought the viewing was fun on it.
Awesome.
It was like overhead view of the map and the way they showed people
and
moving.
And how you can just click on them and it gets there. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
And it did, like, you know, it was all streamers.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool because, you know, you see the people you watch all the time.
It was what it needed to be for this kind of an event.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Like, I had rooting interest. Like, I really wanted to see Lyric win.
Yep.
You know, I really wanted to see my streamers win. And it did at times, like, have you on the edge of your seat because you're like, oh, like, this was... really cool. And the way they did it is that they did three matches and then they had like points pending on where you were and like kills got you certain points, I think.
Something like that.
But the point is it wasn't like one match and it was winner take all. Which
they had an EU match, they had an NA match,
yeah. And it was three matches and points eat it up. That's how they
And again,
did it.
I didn't even watch it for the competitive aspect.
No.
Like, I really didn't.
But it was
a lot of fun. That, like, again, the overhead view and being able to see the people navigate and see how close people were kind of at all times. And you think of yourself, if you're playing the game, it's like, man, like, this is like a cool way to watch it. A little different than watching typical streams.
No, I 100% agree, because after the H1Z1, I was dug in saying survival games should not be in esports. This is why it sucks. And then PUBG, first off, I hate the question of, is this an esport? Because I hate the term esports. It just sounds childish to me.
Yeah.
It's a stupid thing to be like, oh, this is an esport. I mean, why? Because you're playing competitively. There's a winner. Like, I don't, what is an esport? Like, explain to me what an esport is. Like, it's the dumbest thing out there, right? But PUBG did make it entertaining, at least. Right, I'm not saying you're going to fill a stadium so people can see it like Counter-Strike, but they did find a way to make it entertaining as someone not watching it, but as a spectator.
And you can see teams getting into it. I mean, I'm sure they will. They do it in every sport.
I think duos are the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Don't do the four-man squad. That's too much, and it's just not really...
First of all, when we do it all together, it's like too much looting.
It's a mess.
Yeah, it's just...
It's a mess. But they found a way to make it entertaining.
Fun. Yeah.
Let's get into some... E-news here. All right, we're just gonna shoot through these because really the spring cleaning kind of handled most of the things we wanted to get to. So E-news here, just stories and headlines of things that we didn't get a chance to get to. In CSGO, E-League announced, I think just today.
Yep.
I've been up for so long, it's just one big blur. E-League announced that CSGO is making a return starting September 1st for the CSGO premiere. No details have been released just yet, though. We don't know if it's going to be a season. We don't know if it's going to be a tournament or what it's going to be. I don't know.
Major?
Yeah, it could be another. We don't know. You know, we discussed how they do the majors, right? We do know that our buddy Alchemist, though, friend of the show, he's been on here. Well, we need to have Alchemist on at one point in time. He is going to be producing it again. So he was the producer of season 1 and 2.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep. So he's going to be producing this upcoming one, but even he said, Fallen tweeted at him saying, hey, what's the deets? And he was like, I don't even.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
Part of that could be because they're waiting to see if they get the major.
This is very true.
So
this is very true. I mean, ESL1 never announced their prize pool until
they knew.
Yeah, until they knew. The Free Brax movement is started up again. Hashtag Free Brax is making its way. Anuj is wearing his iBuy Power t-shirt in an unironic way. I guess we're here again.
Look, came up again. For those of you that don't know, Brax played in the CS Summit as a substitute for Ska and Cloud9.
To reset that, because there are some people who don't know. There was once upon a time in CSGO a team called iBuyPower. They got busted for throwing matches for skins.
Throwing a match.
Well,
a match.
They got busted for throwing one match.
One match against Netcode.
We don't know what happened prior.
It was, if they've done it multiple times, that was an obvious one, if anything.
Yes, this is the one they decided to get caught on.
They got caught because of gambling money. They figured out where the money was going, followed the money. It led back to text messages, blah, blah,
blah. So I have four players. Skadoodle on Cloud9 was actually a part of it, but he was not punished for whatever reason. He didn't take the money.
He never received,
so I guess,
the skins.
Therefore,
return.
He's completely clean, I guess.
Sure.
It's a ridiculous... Maybe we'll discuss it on the anniversary of it all happening one day. But that's the short background. Is players got banned for fixing matches. Or a match.
Now, most of y'all know Brax as the Cloud9 streamer. So that's kind of his background. It's coming from...
Brax, also known as Swag.
Oh, Swag. Yes, he was Swag in iBuyPower. His more mature name. So yeah, Swag, a.k.a. Brax. Brax,
really
a.k.a. Swag.
Really worried about mature-sounding names and...
has now been, he substituted in for Ska at the CS Summit. It drew a lot of attention. He was one of the top three players in the event. So now the movement has started happening
again.
People are marching in the streets. They're picketing outside of the White House. It's been crazy. Still, nothing has changed.
People are like, listen, Trump, this is what we want.
This is all we want.
We want Brax and iBuyPower to come back,
and then
you work on healthcare.
Yeah, nobody even cares about healthcare. This is affecting our health.
Let's get iBuyPower back in, and then you fix our taxes.
Brax did an interview and says he doesn't think he's going to get unbanned. Most people don't, or most people agree with that. That they will not.
One of them.
I believe they won't get unbanned either, but
not saying they shouldn't. You know, I've at the start, I was like, no burn in hell. I've loosened up on my opinion on that because...
It's been 2 years, you know? Right, it's been like two freaking years and, you know, Kukli's all going
the
next...
The punishment
season.
Doesn't fit the crime
yeah.
at this point.
No.
You wanted to scare him with a lifetime ban. I was okay. Now that it's settled in and you're like, oh, man.
It's been almost...
You're serious.
2 years is a lifetime.
Valve, you really mean this lifetime ban? That's kind of ridiculous.
It's sad because you see these kids enjoy playing and, you know, Swag said he doesn't want to go into broadcasting. He enjoys playing. I don't blame him. So let the kid play. Anyways.
Following up on that, Quickly signs with Vexed Gaming. Quickly, a former French, formerly a former French CSGO player that got busted for cheating. He was hacking.
That was actual hacking.
Yeah, like legit hacking, not match fixing. And this always brings up the question of, okay, so what's more important? Or what's worse, match fixing or cheating? Really haven't found anyone that has said match fixing is worse.
Like cheating is like...
I think everyone agrees hacking is the big no-no. Like
if you play any games and you've encountered a hacker in it, worst feeling ever. So, yeah.
So however reason, the Vexed Gaming management has come to the decision of let's sign Quickly. That's also a wishy-washy thing. He says that he's only hacked before in... like pickup games. I don't believe that for
there's videos
second.
Out there, go watch them. There's like, multiple matches.
He
you
said
can see
he's
that
never he's never hacked in a pro match before. I don't believe that.
Again,
in a second
lies.
I don't think you just I don't think you're a pro gamer and you just happen to cheat
well,
in matchmaking.
The match that they detected it on, or I guess they found it on, was the one where he got that jumping headshot going up into A site on Dust 2. I think that was against VP, and he did the jumping headshot with the USP, and that became known as the play that he made, and now it turns out it was all BS. Anyways, he's joined this team, and this team, being the smart organization vexed that they are, decides to pick up a player of this kind of controversial background and not consult their teammates.
Not one text message
to them. These guys find out like the rest of the world finds out things, whether it be the news, Reddit, blah, blah, blah. They announce it. Two players... drop the team right there.
Instantly said,
not doing it.
We're not playing with them, which just...
Hey, kudos to them.
Bravo.
Kudos to them.
Because I would 100% agree. Even we are not like competitive at all. We did make it to the second round at DreamHack Austin, but
hey,
who's counting? But even like if we were just playing, right? And you're like, hey, I have my buddy Ronnie. He's going to play with us. Just so you are aware, he... got vacked once before. He's got a vac on his account. I'd be like, dude, I'm not. Like, I don't need that in my life. Like,
and we're talking about like just pug playing,
a
right?
Pickup
here.
Game.
You know, so and for those of you that don't understand why this is a big deal, is if you have a player such as him on Quickly on your team, Quickly, KQ, who cares what his name
I call
is?
Him
he's
Quickly,
a cheater.
Right.
Quickly. If you have Quickly on your team, you can now not play in Valve sponsored events. So Vex Gaming is a tier one, tier two team. They're like up there. They're, you know, they're not in pro league, but they're on the cusp and they're one of the better teams, you know, growing teams. So you add a player like, yeah,
we're growing. You basically do this and
Quickly is still a consistent Counter-Strike player. He streams all the time. He's still good at the game. He wasn't bad at the game prior to cheating. It's just, he took that extra advantage just like a baseball player taking steroids or whatever, right? So still was very talented, just cheated to get better.
It's just a very weird situation, and I honestly never thought we'd be talking about it.
No.
Never thought we would be talking about a vacked, proven cheating in pro matches player coming back before iBuyPower.
And this is where the whole iBuyPower thing comes into play. And is now picking up steam as he has now been picked up, and you have this guy that cheated in the game versus Matt Fitz.
Maybe we can get someone on the show to shed light on the situation.
I've invited Swag, so we'll see if he accepts the invitation.
Listen, I invite a lot of people on the show. I don't think that means they're going to come on anytime soon.
And got like 14 emails out to him. We'll see what happens.
please, Swag. In other news, Dota 2 had their major in Kiev over last weekend. I watched all of maybe 5 minutes of this because we were in DreamHack Austin and you just don't have time to watch it.
It wasn't happening over there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We said it beforehand. I wish I could watch it so we could talk about it. It's not going
to
happen.
Between the music and the gaming, it was very hard to do anything
else. It was very hard to do. So, going here, though, OG did defeat Virtus Pro 3-2 in the Grand Finals. It's OG's fourth major. In just non-Chinese viewers, you were telling me this ahead of the show, 845 viewers.
845,000 viewers.
Not including... So I was thinking this, too.
Well, I did the math. Including the Chinese viewers, they had 1.6 trillion viewers actually watching the show simultaneously. So it was quite impressive.
It had to... I wonder with, like, the Korean... Because, like, StarCraft 2 is, like, huge in Korea still, right?
Yeah.
Like, massive. That's still a thing.
What they do.
And yet it's still never big on Twitch. So I know they have, like, their own streaming servers elsewhere.
It's because they bought it. So they actually are notorious for botting numbers. So they don't count the viewers because it's very difficult to tell what is an actual viewer versus what is a bot. So they just discount them all together.
Really? Is that what it is?
Some of the numbers were skewed into like the millions, and they're like, there's no way there's like 8 million people watching this live, you know? So
right.
They're notorious for botting accounts, and that obviously happens here too, but at the level they do it at over there, it would completely screw up the numbers. So that's why they don't count them.
Interesting, because I was actually going to do that for an Overwatch report one day, because Overwatch is pretty big in Korea as well, and it's just... There has to be viewership numbers somewhere that I'm missing in Overwatch.
And they're not there.
StarCraft. And yeah, it's just, they're not there. But that's for another show at another time, because episode 59 is done. There we go. Episode 59 is said and over with. It was an extra long episode, but an extra fun one.
I know. I'm gone for a while now, man.
I know. We are.
I'm gonna miss you guys.
Which the reason we did an extra long show today, folks, is because not only is Brett in Paris
on a top-notch news assignment,
TCR report, Anuj is going to Italy this week. He's going to breaking down the esports scene in Italy.
We are. We're actually hosting a tournament in the Colosseum live. It'll be a BYOC event, so people hop on up there.
Called the Center Ring Coliseum. The Center Coliseum?
The Center Coliseum. So yeah, I'll be gone for 2 weeks, so that's, I want to miss you guys, you know?
So that being said, I will literally be the only one here. So we're not going to do a show next week because, well, let's face it, no one wants to just hear me for probably 10 minutes without anyone...
You couldn't have said it better yourself, buddy.
Right, just... with me being the only one here. So we're taking next week off because everyone else is out of town and I'm sit here working. Because, you know, I put the show ahead of everything. But hey, you want to go to Italy for, what are you going for? Anniversary?
No, just,
just you're rich and
no,
that's what rich people do?
Made that uncomfortable real quick. So no, we're just going for fun. Yeah, so it'll just be a good time. So we're out there for a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah. Some people go to Italy. Some people buy new furniture.
Hey, I haven't been overseas. Okay, I've been to North and South America, so this will be a first experience for me, and
okay,
I'm sure you'll
want
to hear all about it.
I hope you have fun. Well, probably not. Let's not get too excited.
We will make sure we do that.
Episode 59 is said and done, though. We will be back in... well, you're going to be gone for a couple weeks.
I'll be back for the show leading up to ESL 1, potentially.
Okay.
If not, it'll be the show right after, so y'all won't see me
until
June.
We'll see what's up there. Yep. But we will be back next time, whenever that is. So keep an eye on our Twitter, at The Center Ring. You can follow us there to see all show news and updates. You can follow us on the website. It's just
www.tcr.gg.
That is T as in the, C as in center, ring, R as in ring.
And if you forget, just listen to the intro of the show, and Zero will explain it all to you.
I don't know what it is.
Wait, was it Zero?
Yeah, Mango.
Mango, yeah.
Real quick, before we head off, when we go up to ask for liners, people have the hardest time saying TCR.
That's incredible.
Like, we edit them down so you don't see it except for Mango's because it was funny. Dude, it's The Center Ring. And they're like, ah, got it. Okay, no problem. All right. Hey, this is Tim and you're listening to TTR.
I had
the tenter ring. Like, what did you think that T stood for, man?
The best part was it was on our shirt, so it couldn't have been like any more clear.
It was so obvious. So next
time
we
had the website on there, so
doing something.
Yeah, JDM struggled a little bit, but we did manage to get something that sounds like it. It was fun, though. It's always fun getting it from them. We appreciate people like yes. them doing it.
They're good sports about
they
it.
They are good sports about it.
Especially just when we're a couple weirdos coming up them and asking for a liner for a podcast no one's heard about.
Well, Hobbit was about to call the police on us, I'm yeah, sure.
Robert was about to put in an Amber Alert when we went to go say hi to him. Like, my God, bro, chill out.
Relax.
Relax. Anyways, thank you so much again for listening. Follow us on Twitter @TheCenterRing. Until then, take it easy, and we'll see you next time.
Cash us outside.